Tormund spoke truly, said Mansrader as he ripped apart a loaf of bread. The Black Crow is a tricksy bird, that's so. But I was a crow when you were no bigger than the babe in Dalla's belly, Jon Snow. So take care not to play tricksy with me. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it was best to rename and rebrand ourselves as the game did so with a second edition. Now, we are the White Book Podcast, and each week we bring you your dose of strategy, insight, and all-around geeky goodness. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, but more importantly to you, our listeners. Please consider supporting us on Patreon so that we can continue to make this show the best it can, and I promise we have big plans for the future. This is The White Book.
That's a stupid goddamn quote.
That's an awesome quote.
I like that quote. We're at the bottom of the barrel here. I'm open to suggestions.
This is how we know you guys aren't like literature majors. Like, that is just fucking terrible writing.
Oh man, I already fell asleep, and this was a review episode, so I need to go get some coffee because Glazer's already professing English at us.
It's kind of what I do.
It's true. It is what you do.
Kind of.
What do you mean? Very, very generally.
There you go.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
I'm Will.
I'm Roy.
I'm Jesse.
And we're the White Book. Hedge Knight Edition.
Hedge Knight Edition.
That was remarkably smooth, Glazer. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Thank you. I set it up, so I'd hope so.
Well played. Okay, well, before we go ahead and jump into the good old chapter pack review here, I do want to go ahead and hit up another Patreon reward drawing. So we're going to hit the old random.org here and see who wins a set of the White Book. Maybe I should be calling them status tokens, something like that.
Oh, that's what.
Okay. Okay, looks like that is going to be John W. So, there we go. I will get those sent out to you, Johnny, and I'm going to dump a bunch of crap out of my desk. Apologies to everybody that heard that.
Okay.
I heard it.
Yeah.
Your desk deserved it.
That was an entire shelf that just fell out of my desk for reasons unknown to me. Okay.
Oh,
it's a ghost. It's a ghost slash host of the Riverlands. All right, good.
Ooh.
It's a physical manifestation of everyone who hates chapter pack review episodes lashing out that we're about to do one.
They don't have to listen.
That is, in fact, true, but don't say that on air.
Right?
Oh, sorry.
They have to listen. They're required to. They can't skip an episode.
I think this is like, how do people know they don't like them? Like, they obviously still listen. They're liars.
It's still the most popular ones ever.
Yeah, chapter pack reviews do like a million times the hits of everything else, as we know from the other podcast, which is why we don't do them ever on it.
Because you don't want hits? I'm very confused, Greg.
I don't. I hate that we have an audience for Second Sons. It actually bothers me a lot. I try and drive the audience away, and they yell at me all the time.
So much easier to do whatever you wanted when you had no audience. I can see that.
Like, it was the whole point of the podcast wasn't to have an audience. The whole point of the podcast was just to shit talk people. Now they're like, let's do real topics. I'm like, fucking have the White Book.
I'm not sure that's entirely true. I think Aaron's creative imagination that Profession of English as Him has gotten away, because that was not how it was originally pitched to me.
It was I lied to Roy, but I just wanted to get drunk and badmouth.
Yeah. Aaron told me it was all for shit talking when he was wanting to start it, so.
Yeah, like that was the entire point of the podcast, and I wanted John to be on it so he'd have to listen and get frustrated. That was my entire plan.
Everything. It was a good plan.
It didn't work.
All right.
Thanks. All right, well, who won?
That's a great segment for those of you who are listening to the Patreon only White Book Uncut section.
One of these days, we're really going to just pour all that stuff together into one episode. It'll be great.
That could totally go on air. There's no reason that can't go on air. All I said was that I shit talk someone. That's not like that's not like a mystery.
Sure.
All right, who won?
What, Aaron?
Who won?
John W. won the drawing. Were you not listening to Will's own segment?
Aaron never listened.
Johnny, right?
That's not true. I listened to, like, card review stuff. And we're announcing on air. Is John W. Johnny right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. I just don't normally throw people's last names out there just in case, because I know there are people.
When you play combo, no more privacy for you.
Guys, he really didn't want to win, I swear.
Oh, my God. I'm not rehashing this story.
I can rehash it all I want.
We already talked about that for an hour.
I messed with him before, after, and during.
Yeah, that's a great time to segue into the chapter pack review.
Guys, I should harass Will more often. It makes these podcasts go way faster.
Damn it, Aaron. You just give me more work to edit later. Okay, so we've got a new chapter pack. We've got Someone Always Tells. We've got the start cards coming up first. I'm going to read them A to F. Sometimes an S or an E, who knows?
But I want to know who always tells.
We'll find out when we get to the card.
Promise?
Promise.
Thank you.
So, who wants to start with Stark?
You.
All right.
I want to start with whatever gives me Greyjoy.
We'll just go in whatever order we want.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
So, House Stark has two cards in this pack. Surprise, surprise. The first is a 5-cost, 5-strength military.
Holy
power,
shit.
Bicon, non-loyal, host of the Riverlands, which is an army, House Tully, bestow 3, no attachments. Reaction, after a House Tully character you control gains power, discard 1 gold from host of the Riverlands, have that character gain 1 power. Limit once per phase. And then we have the secret sauce of this pack, Godswood, which is a non-unique Stark location, loyal, old gods, 2-cost, if I didn't mention that. Reaction, after you win a challenge as the attacking player, if there are more winter plot cards than summer plot cards revealed, kneel Godswood to draw X cards. X is the claim value on your revealed plot card. I think Godswood's probably the most interesting. Like Host of the Riverlands, I think, is a little boring, and in sort of like obvious design space. It's yet another one of these Tully cards that's about gaining power when you gain more power, or gaining more power when you gain power would be better English. But Godswood is really interesting, actually. I think Stark Winter has been threatening to be a thing, and you know, I think it creates more space for those decks. Like, they don't just have to be aggro decks. You could maybe figure out some kind of, like, long game attrition deck that could use this. Now, the problem is, of course, Tyrell, which is 1/3 of the meta, is running a billion summer plots. So the drawback kicks in more, but maybe those decks want old Nan. I'm not entirely sure, but I'm interested to sort of see where Godswood is. So it's a cool card. I'm kind of interested to see what deck builders do with it. because Stark needs draw.
Boy, do they. The one thing, though, that stands out to me there is maybe they don't have to be aggro, but this definitely rewards you harder for being aggro by having higher climbing. So there is that.
I mean, and this wants winter, but meanwhile it's sitting there pushing fealty.
I would argue that more control decks play two claim plots than aggro decks, so.
Well, this sends us back to our last episode.
Yeah, we just did this.
No, I'm just like being honest with you. Like, I, if you look back at like popular, I'm not even saying like just me personally. If you look back at like the popular decks that have run two claim plots, it has been like the Martell Rose decks. It's been like the Night's Watch Wolf control decks more than like the attrition style
and Tarn,
more than aggro.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really like, I mean, Host of Riverlands, I don't get really care about. It's just another card. It'll go as like one ofs and decks, Tully decks maybe. But the Godswood card, I like love. I think it's good. Well,
it is important to note that it's non-unique.
Yes.
So if you can get two of these out, you know, you can draw, you know,
two
to four cards.
Four.
Which I think is really solid, right? Like, I think, and it gives you more flexibility. It makes it more vulnerable to political disaster, which definitely hurts. But it's a really interesting card. I'm really proud of Danny because I think it's a really interesting design space for a draw card.
Does it say like whatever the claim is or whatever it reads on your plot card?
On your plot card.
X is the claim value on your reveal plot card. So if your winner is coming, you should draw extra cards.
Sweet. I was curious about.
So, in general, this is phenomenal, right? But, like, I think that Stark's going to have a hard time playing this if they're not playing it in fealty.
I think it's fine out of wars to come.
I think they may just have
I wish it only cost one.
I mean, the problem is, like, winter plots have such shit gold, and you need to run a lot of winter plots with this.
Well, and the flip side of that is,
I mean, summer
plots are really common compared to.
Barring is good. Like, Barring has good economy. False Spring has good economy. Kid Plot is fine. Like, if you, like, wrap it into, like,
you know,
what the actual card does.
You know, count all three of those? One claim.
What? I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's doable. Right. It's just, I feel like
this is like a refill card, right?
It should be a tempo. It should be a maintained tempo card. It's also a big time go second card.
I don't know why it's two gold. I really wish it was only one, but.
Well, and also to go after Aaron's econ question is, if this, a deck that's running this is probably going to be running the Stark econ location, right? Because it's going to need ways to protect its winter plots, you know, with old Nan again. So, yeah, I think. I don't know. I'm interested to see where this goes. Like, I think this is a C-plus pack because I think Godswood is going to end up just being kind of drowned out a little bit in Tyrell because Tyrell is so popular and so powerful, and other factions just love summer plots too, like Targaryen and things like that. So,
see, I think Targaryen's the problem. Like, because you can just, like, if Tyrell is the problem, you just run three old Nan and call it a day, right? Like, run a... like, go look for her and you're fine. Like, then the summer plots don't matter and you're really just going to screw them over and you're totally set. The real problem is, like, that you can't run three old Nan because Targaryen just thinks that's delicious food. So does Martell, in fairness.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just, it's weak in, like, too many ways. Like, to fix one hole, you end up having to make another.
That's fair.
In a slightly different meta,
all right.
Godswood would be pretty impressive, but I don't know that it's this meta.
Well, there's a meta call for it, right? There's a way to, like, catch your meta off guard when you know that everyone's been playing Tyrell and they seem to be coming off it for a little while. You can just drop it in then, and then suddenly it's really good.
Sure. I think the fact that none of us are talking about Host of the Riverlands says most of what needs to be said about Host of the Riverlands, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't really do much.
Expensive and bad.
On its own, cost too much.
Yeah. If that were 3 for $5, I'd play it.
Yeah.
I'd even bestow it sometime.
Yeah. I think Roy's guess at your first Stark sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, I'm at a B minus. I think that the game exists for more than just the current meta, and this card will be good. The Godswood will be good.
C plus is fine. Just, I like Godswood.
You sound like the House Holy one.
Who, me? No, I'm not tired. I just I was like trying to think like when could the Godswood be good? Like, the cost is really what's drawing me back.
I think also the fact that Stark doesn't have any redundancy in protecting its winter plots is also a problem.
I almost wish it was just unique, and then I can just HRD it and HRD draw and move on with life. I know that's worse in some ways, but like playing.
I wish it was unique and you just had to kneel it.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Like that would just be an awesome. Yeah, but Stark doesn't get
enough. I like this card. I don't know, maybe a B minus. I do like Godswood a lot. I just, even if you're just drawing one card,
yeah,
it's still fine, right?
I mean, the real problem is Stark really needs a card like this next card in Tyrell. Will.
Sure.
Okay, so we've got Mace Tyrell. Yet another version. This one is 6 cost, 4 strength, has intrigue and power icons. He's loyal. Lord and small council traits. Reaction after Mace Tyrell is knelt. Draw 2 cards, then choose a card in your hand and place it on top of your deck. He also has +1 gold. And then we have This Must Be Answered Fiercely. It's a non-loyal Tyrell event. 2. Reaction after 3 or more characters are declared as attackers and challenge against you, search your deck for a Tyrell character and put it into play. Shuffle your deck. You know, I'm actually going to focus for just a sec on This Must Be Answered Fiercely. I at least vaguely see what they're going for here in an interesting way, right? Like, Tyrell is all supposed to be thematically all about strength. So if you've got all this high strength, your opponent's going to have to throw a bunch of characters at you to actually get a challenge through. So then maybe you can trigger this. But I honestly think it's going to be not very good. I'd rather spend that slot on something else. If I just need to dig for cards or something, I've got the Informer for that. And yeah, I just don't think this is happening very much. Too much setup, too many requirements. Mace, on the other hand, seems pretty cool. I mean, I think he seems strong. He's up against stiff competition in his, his Tyrell box version. Yeah. He's not very interesting to me. He's just yet more card filtering for Tyrell. They're hitting that so hard, it becomes kind of boring to me after a while.
So, he's really good against Euron, which is nice, but like, forget that for a minute. Like, how many names could this card have and not see play? Like, because Mace and like Arianne. And Asha.
Tywin, maybe?
And Dany. No, this would get play over the other Tywin. Are you kidding? I think it's just better than core Tywin.
Okay.
Cards are more important than economy at this point.
I mean, he does still give you some economy.
Like, I get so.
I mean, Mace is more burnable, though. Like,
yeah. I mean,
He dies much more easily, excuse me, than core Tywin does, or core Mace, or box Mace does, right? That 4 strength,
yeah,
and he has to kneel, is really vulnerable in a Dany meta.
Fair.
And it is a kneel that's probably going to have to come off the challenge. Oh, he's going to be in there for the Dracarys.
Perhaps.
I mean, he's a fantastic card. Like, don't get me wrong.
I think he's unbelievably great, and if probably the single best character in the game wasn't also named Mace Tyrell, he'd see play.
He never sees play.
Yeah.
Unless people are just trying to be cheeky.
Restricted list.
This card's going to be really good.
Yeah. Like, Tyrell would love this card if it were not made. Like, if this were Renly, I might play it over Renly. At least in some situations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Renly's got three icons.
Yeah,
Tricon and Insight, and be able to draw another one.
And Renown. This is already giving you the two and letting you choose. Oh, yeah. But
and the Renown.
Yeah, the Renown. The Renown is the big one. I think we might be hitting the lack of King on this, and like the King on Renly. I think we might be hitting a critical mass of Kings that where Renly starts to get pushed down a little bit.
I mean, yeah. He's not permanent, but like just having Renly in play for one turn, like, is just such a huge swing sometimes. Yeah. The double draw and the renown that fights. He eats removal, like he can force people to early valor, and that's really useful for Tyrell. So, but Mace is super strong, probably one of the strongest characters in the cycle, but he definitely has the problem of having that name Mace Padel. But I guess we should just talk a little bit about him in more of a vacuum, I guess. Like, I mean, it's just a really powerful effect.
Yeah.
You shouldn't vacuum up your cards, right?
I shouldn't. No, it's a huge mistake. Ugh. All those 1.0 cards destroyed. But, yeah, and he has great traits. He's got the plus one gold. He's just like, there's really literally everything to love about this card. I also really just like his effect. I think it's really, a cool effect with a lot of other things that Tyrell wants to do. Like, it's really good with Old Town. It's really good with just a variety of other Tyrell effects. So I think it's a really cool... In many ways, I wish this was the box mace and that the 7-cost mace was in a cycle. So this mace would exist forever because I think it does way more interesting things for Tyrell and is way more interesting card,
you know,
in general. But that's not the world we live in, and this mace is definitely overshadowed by his cousin with better art.
You know why I hate this mace? Like, hate this mace? Because Stark and Barrow would freaking kill for this card.
Yeah. Like,
kill. They have nothing.
I'd love to see that as a Baratheon Renly, maybe?
Yeah, a Baratheon Renly, a Stark, I don't know. No one can draw cards in Stark, apparently, because they all suck. But like
Wyman, a Stark Wyman,
sure, something like that. But like Stark would kill for this. Another Lewin. This could be a Lewin, whatever. But like Stark and Barra are in desperate need of a card like this, and Tyrell gets them. They're like, man, this is trash. Can't play this at all. Like, that's not especially sound design. When what would be immediately one of the best cards in at least two factions, if not more, is unplayable in one faction. Tyrell just has too much stuff.
It's maybe because, I mean, like I said, like there's a point where you get so much of this drawing card filtering that it's just like background noise, so to speak. Like, his ability doesn't stand out that much. Like, if they didn't have piles of other stuff, you know, Renly's and whatever, and you really needed this type of effect, then maybe it's more of a push between him and Box Mace. But they've gone so like deep, so hard on this particular theme for this one house that it becomes redundant. And then, you know, I mean, I understand there's faction strengths. You don't want to bleed too hard around with those, or otherwise why have factions? But like you said, other factions would kill for a taste of this, and Tyrell swimming in so much they barely care.
Jess?
I agree with you. I think that this mace could be really cool, could be really good, but it's not because there's another mace. So if there's ever a restricted list, this card will see play. If there's not, this card will not. And the other card is bad.
It's very cool top-down design, though. Like, but yeah. It is a poor, 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 poor card.
Tyrell otherwise. Is far, far, far too competitive to ever put that card in the deck. Yeah,
like that's the problem. Like, I think Tyrell is so far and away the best house at this point. Like, I'm not saying they're unbeatable.
I think Greyjoy is pretty good.
Yeah, but Greyjoy has one thing.
I think Targ is
Greyjoy has one thing. Targ has one thing. Tyrell has 15. Yeah. Things that are all just completely insane.
Wait, I think what you should so be good guy Greyjoy stuff.
Good guy Greyjoy stuff.
Greyjoy Rush, yeah. And Greyjoy, I don't think Greyjoy Drowned God stuff. Greyjoy. That's all the same thing.
I don't think Greyjoy Rush is a real thing, and until you prove to me Drowned God is tier one, it's not. Just because you like it doesn't make it
terrible. Hopefully I'll do that in California.
We'll talk about Drowned God a little more later this week, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty of time for that. So I actually want to agree with you, Aaron, but I don't want to think it's the best faction. I guess you could say it has the best overall card pool.
Yeah.
And how that card pool plays out can change in the meta, right? But I think it's always got these, like, it's like Lannister was in the first and the second cycle. Like, it's just this faction that serves as a good base for all these other themes, and those themes will shift which one's better, which one's worse. But Tyrell is always going to be a force in the meta until some other faction gets power picked up. Maybe that's Martell, maybe that's Greyjoy here, but I don't think Tyrell's the best faction. If you want to win the tournament,
I think there are a lot of really good factions. Good.
I would say it turns out when you put the best economy and the best draw into the same faction, that tends to really push that faction.
I'm not sure they have the best draw. Oh. But
who has the best draw then, Jesse? Martell? I'm actually very interested.
No.
Martell?
No.
Dorne's pretty good.
Sure, but Martell
did help a lot.
Martell is, is really 2 to 3 cards, and Corella is 15. So, like, sure.
I don't know.
Sure, but not really.
I Ricasso'd and drew 6 cards on turn 2 today, so.
Yeah, I've done that before,
too. I'm just saying. Like,
I watched Aaron lose a league game because his opponent got all the secret schemes.
6. It was very frustrating. Speaking of which, I never made my league match this week. Oh, well, I guess I'm taking an auto loss there.
All right. Did we all rate?
No, none of us rated.
I did not.
I'm not sure any of us did.
C plus.
I want to give him like a
C is fine.
B minus. I do like that Mace in a vacuum. The event's pretty terrible.
I'm trying to think whether I should go safe or go controversial.
Go controversial.
It's Roy.
D.
Got him, boys.
Yeah, no.
Well, I love you.
It's a D. It's a D. Like, Mace is just so overshadowed by his counterpart that, and this must be answered feature. Cool top design, Danny. Like, Danny can go give a game developers conference talk about that card, but it's a terrible competitive and even fun card to play. But it's a cool top-down design.
Is it a fun card to play? I feel like it's not even fun.
Card to play. It's just a cool design. Like, it captures the moment in the book really well.
Fair enough.
But other than that.
All right. Jesse, you want Barrow or Night's Watch?
I can take...
Yeah.
I can take Barrow, preferably.
Okay, I'll do Watch. Sorry, Roy. You're the only person who likes Stark at all. Septon Salador is a 4-for-2 intrigue icon, loyal, the 7, so that matters suddenly. Kneel Septon Salador to choose an opponent. That player must choose and discard a character from his or her hand unless he or she reveals a hand containing no characters. And the Crow is a tricksy bird, is a 2-cost event. It is loyal. It's a plot action. Kneel your faction card to choose an opponent and look at his or her plot deck. Choose one plot in that deck. That player must reveal that plot as his or her next plot card, if able. Card design by Sammy Ratz.
That's good.
Can we talk about Salador before we do Trixie Bird for an hour?
Sure. Let's not do Trixie Bird for an hour, okay. But let's do Salador for sure.
So I think Salador is also really good for any kind of Night's Watch that's like a Night's Watch Wolf would probably run one of him, right? Like,
one,
being
I
able
think.
To just yeah. get rid of characters is amazing.
I have one of them in my deck now.
Oh wait, which one? The
I'm planning to put one of them in my Night's Watch Wolf deck, and like I'm really, really high on Night's Watch Wolf right now.
I think it's I think this card is like, thank God it's 2 strength, because without like Venomous and Burn, this would be way too strong.
I mean, it's still a pretty big tempo hit for an attrition deck. Like 4-for-2 that can never really be in a challenge is still a hit. Like I think it's a really powerful effect. But I think Danny did a good job like hitting the right balance between sort of there's an opportunity cost to playing
really
this card.
I really think so, man. You get to see, you either get to chuck a character or you get to know that your opponent has no characters. That sheer amount of knowledge.
And no, else they've got.
That is not what that card says.
Neil Tempest will choose an opponent. That player must choose and discard a character. So you either get to get a character out of their hand.
Must choose and discard a character. Oh, choose a character. I'm sorry.
Or
I misread the card.
Reveal a hand containing a character, which means you get to see their whole hand of no characters.
See there.
Either of those is stupidly strong. That it's both is just wow.
I mean, and it's not like you're probably pulling the Chud characters out of their hand with Celador, right? Like, they're playing the 1 and 2 drops to try and kind of maximize their marshalling. You're probably pulling some pretty decent, like, mid-range out of their hand.
Yeah, and then that increases the value of resets, and Varus used to fit in that deck. I don't know if it still does, but that increases the power of both resets and Varus, and Night's Watch's inherent second or third best draw in the game. That's a lot of upside for this card.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I mean, discarding characters fuels urine. Oh my god, urine, and the watch has the watch has need. Yeah. Is that the?
Yeah.
No, that's the draw, Ben, isn't it? What's the one that grabs the 2 cost that grabs 5 cost or lower call? But,
hey, does anyone see the flavor text on this?
Taking the block.
Septon Seldor was half drunk as usual. Should I have used that to open the episode?
That should have opened the episode because they were clearly half drunk when they made the second card.
So it's Guarding the Realm, Taking the Black, and what's the
Guarding,
other one?
The other one is the one we can't remember.
Do this on Card Game TV and not Thrones TV.
Yeah, hold on.
All right. In the meantime, I think Celador is a seriously fantastic card. Very strong, and it's something that I'm putting in basically every non-defense Night's Watch deck.
I mean, I think it can even feed in some defense card deck. Like, it's a very, very strong card.
Like in your ring.
And now my watch
begins.
There we
go. Now my watch
begins. Is the 2 cost one that I'm thinking of. No, I think it actually makes that, like, Live the Dream, Queen's Crown, Night's Watch Greenside deck more consistent, so I'm excited to play around with this card. I think it's never going to be a 3x because he's very vulnerable to a lot of factions that Night's Watch has already got some issues with, so I think as a 1x in an attrition or in a discard synergies deck, it's very, very powerful.
I'm with it.
I agree.
So, but I do. Can I criticize this card and Sam's card a bit for a second? Like, the art is awful in the Night's Watch cards. Like, the Septon Salador looks like, I don't even know, like a drunk 90s comic artist drew it. And then this card does not look like Sam.
From The Witcher, come to think of it.
Like, I just don't think that this Night's Watch guy looks that much like Sam. Do you guys agree? Am I out of...
I think it looks like Sam.
I don't care.
I don't see it.
I think it looks like Sam.
But, yeah, maybe.
Looks like a baby Sam.
A baby Sam? I think it looks like Sam if he was 40 and divorced.
Nah.
So, guys, can
Sam looks 40 and divorced
can
now.
Can we stop playing A Christmas Carol and go with the actual card?
All right,
it's
sorry,
the Sam
Aaron.
Of Christmas future. I don't care. All right, of course, the Trixie Bird is
A plus
broken. It is so good.
Very strong.
Like, it is very
welcome
good.
Back, builders. It was nice to have you gone for 2 months.
It helps the builders. Helps a lot. Helps Night's Watch.
It helps.
Night's Watch Wolf.
You know what Night's Watch
deck
helps? Every Night's Watch deck.
Yeah.
It's
but Night's Watch Rush, yeah, it's very strong because you can make it so they can't value you turn 2.
Correct. I mean, even if it was just knowledge of their plot deck, I feel like that would be pretty strong. But
I don't think I think that that would be a bad card if it was just.
I think you are wrong. I would seriously pay 2 gold to look at my opponent's plot deck.
Absolutely, yeah. I play 3 of it.
Yeah, immediately.
Absolutely. That's all it did.
Absolutely.
Not rock hard afterward.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't give
plot
a shit.
Are everything, man. Like, if I
know what you can do, I can beat you.
Yeah.
If I know what you have, if I know what you can do, where you can go from here, then like I
if
just
was
play you at that point.
And no,
like you don't win initiative again. Like,
but if it was two gold and know your opponent's reset for sure, like know each reset they play, I'd play it.
Yeah, I mean, yep. I think we're at the point in the card pool though that like running just pure utility events like that are just not something you would do. Like it's a two cost plot only action. That just says, look at your opponent's plot deck. Like, I mean, like, man, I'm bad. Like, I, again, will always be the first to admit that I'm bad. But I just think that that's not something that a lot of decks are going to find space for. Like, you'll be like, oh, that's really cool. And it is a powerful effect. But just, like, it doesn't do anything to the board.
Oh, man. I disagree. I disagree. It changes your marshalling decisions. It changes when you're going to play your resets. Like, I'm talking about attrition because that's what I play, right? So, like... if I'm playing attrition and I know you have like you haven't dropped your like say confiscation or you haven't dropped like if I know you're playing confiscation, if I know you're playing like compelled by the faith, if I know you're playing like any reset and like what reset you're playing or what economy you're playing, like I can just play around it at that point.
Yeah,
so like many. I either hold stuff off, like it makes your marshalling so efficient at that point, right? Like, if you know they're playing confiscation, then you're not going to waste your time on this milk, and you're going to be able to get another character out. It's going to affect the attrition of the
board. I feel like this makes worse to come way worse, too. This hammer is worse to come.
I really think that just, like...
Why do you think it makes worse to come worse?
Most worse to come decks... No. Most worse to come decks play one reset, and if I can make you reset whenever the fuck I want, like, you got a real problem. Yeah, you got a real problem.
I don't know about that, Glazer. Like, we haven't seen Wars to Come that heavy in that many big tournaments. I would hold off on that. I think Wars to Come decks will come around to running, but like running at least.
Yeah, I think
resets.
So too eventually, but I don't think we're there yet at all. Like I mean, like it's hard for like even Martell to fit space because you need the 0/0/0. I get it. I just don't think it's that easy.
That's fair.
Well,
but besides arguing about an like arbitrary point that the card doesn't even say, we do get to look at your plot and we get to choose it. So card is
well, okay. Here's one caveat with it that I do want to explore for a sec. Like Roy said, it's a plot action.
Sure.
Cost two. So what are all the ways we're getting that two gold to use to play it?
Trade routes,
old forest hunter, calling the banners.
You gotta have a couple old forest hunters, but yeah.
You just need one taxation and one in plot.
I forgot you could do it post taxing and taxation.
It's two cards. I mean, that's
also
three cards if you include playing. So that's like it's every card.
Boys.
If you're running Night's Watch Sun or
Night's
Watch Conclave. And
Night's Watch Conclave. I like the way you think, Roy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you can only play that card out of two agendas.
Three, because Alliance.
No, I mean, I agree. Like,
there
I mean,
you go.
Oh, that's true, Alliance. I apologize. Yeah. Well, you still have to have a Banner Sun in your Alliance deck. I think this is a really, really strong card. I think it's a very Sam card because it does the things that the very least you two guys said. Like it definitely, if you are a expert of the plot game in the way in which Sam Bratz is, this is a card that increases your win percentage.
So Sam never loses again, right?
maybe if he's at a war style tournament and has to play a non-Night's Watch house.
Fair, or if you just like can't find this card, right? Like just didn't draw it. Like, oh man, I didn't draw my card.
I mean, Night's Watch has enough draw that to see it by like turn two or three when you really want it. Like,
there's also an event search
mid game
right?
card.
It's not like that doesn't exist.
Yes, but I think you're. I mean, yeah, it's gonna be hard to cancel this because it's a plot action, and your opponent's not gonna have gold to play their hand's judgment. And the other cancel that we have here also costs two gold. So I think, and no one's playing Sandy's champ card. So,
I mean, even if they did, you're like, all right, draw some cards. Draw some cards. I'm going to pick your plot, and you can have all the cards you want. Reigns breaks this, right? So, Reigns turns this off.
Yes, I believe I had seen Colin
something along those lines.
You don't get to look at their scheme.
They get to pick whatever they want next turn.
Yeah, because they use the reins, which gets around this, and then they've already technically revealed a plot by the time they're in the next plot phase.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
Yeah.
Right. If able, so, right, I mean, yeah.
Like, that's what we really do.
I mean, that makes it a dead card in an important matchup.
We'll something Here's the thing. Better, I think right? this card, when it's impactful...
Reigns has been good
for a year and a half. Okay, like, I think this card will be impactful when it hits the board. I don't think it will, like, I don't think it will be everywhere how everyone says it will be, just because it is a loyal Night's Watch card, and I don't think Night's Watch
is... Which I think was a good design decision.
I mean, I do Correct. Think it's also a high skill card to use it really effectively.
Correct. I agree with both of those statements. So I think it is an A-plus card, but I do not think it will be heavily impactful on the meta.
I think it depends on the meta. I think if Sam Bratz is in the meta, then it will impact the whole meta.
I'm going to take it a little bit. I think it shores up the weaknesses of a couple of Night's Watch decks. Particularly, it does. Builders doesn't really care necessarily about like knowing your plot deck in its own abstract thing, but forcing you to either Political Disaster before you want to, or Valor before you want to, just fixes a lot of problems for builders. Or do build Breaking Ties before they play the wall. You know, is just like it just solves so many problems for builders, and I think it helps Night's Watch attrition a lot. But like, I don't think it does anything for any other Night's Watch strategies. I mean, maybe new ones will emerge out of this, but I think that it is loyal Night's Watch, as Jesse said, sort of limits its impact on the meta and that. But those two decks there were already pretty good, particularly builders. And so bringing builders back in the meta in a much more consistent way that it has less bad matchups will impact.
I think it's most natural home might be Night's Watch Reigns, the little like mini aggro one with the wall. Because like they can just run the econ plots and flip out of them and still get do stuff.
Wait, I'm confused. So you think that Night's Watch Reigns should be running this card?
No, Night's Watch Reigns should be running this card because they can run econ plots, and the downside to running econ plots is that you miss do stuff plots. But Reigns gives you plots that also do stuff on top of your econ. So you get your econ, and then you flip into stuff that happens.
No, it's reasonable.
And that's real tough to beat, especially when you know, like, all right, so I'm going to choose March next, and I'm going to Wildfire in the middle of the challenge phase.
Yeah, reasonable.
I give them
an A plus.
Agreed.
I think it's just a nice solid A for me.
I think we're underrating Celador. I think Celador is really good.
I agree.
Very good.
Yeah, but like because the other one is so flashy, I think we're overlooking just how good Celador is, or will be rather.
Yeah, maybe. Your turn, Jesse.
All right. Let's see. So, Bera, we have the Bastard of Night Song. It's a 5/5 military power, unique, Bastard Knight traded reaction. After you win a power challenge, which the Bastard of Night Song is participating, move one power from the losing opponent's faction card to your own. We have a one-cost loyal attachment, King at the Wall, unique, title traded, unique Bera character only. Attached character gains the King trait reaction. After you win a power challenge, which attached character is participating, draw one card for each out-of-faction location you control. I love these cards. I think the Bastard of Night Song is just really efficient, and I think King at the Wall is really good.
How do you use King at the Wall? I'm not trying to be a jerk. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more.
What do you mean, like
watch? Bera's son, I guess.
You could do it like, I mean, like, aren't neutral locations out of faction?
No, nope. Unfortunately. Nope.
They are not?
They don't
they
have a faction.
They are null. They don't have a faction, which bugs me a little bit about the game, but...
It's only when it says, like, non... If it said non-Bera location, then you could draw a million cards in a, you know, like a Bera Wars account deck that's running a bunch
of
neutral cards.
Well, that significantly upsets
Agreed.
Me.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's why I didn't think it was any good. Okay. Sorry, Jeff.
It's fine in tier 2 decks.
Yep.
I still think Bastard Knight Song is cool.
Oh, that card's real good.
Yeah.
Something Bera's really been hurting for, right? Like something really solid at that 5 cost slot to put a little oomph into things. And I think he does it without being at the top. Nice little callback to first ed.
He's pretty close to over the top, though. He's just so efficient, and he steals power.
I mean,
the issue is like King at the Wall is not great, but like if there is a banner package out there that we're not like seeing, like Bera Watch, like this would have been really good in Chase's like named attorney deck,
the like, Bera really Watch good. Deck.
Yeah, like and like with the King plot out there, like this is good. You don't have to run the 7 drop Kings, like. This might be good in a Bera Sun deck, or I don't know. It's cool. Like I like the design of it. I wish it wasn't out of faction. I wish it was just like non-Bera, but
yeah, could be cool. I think it would be too good if it let you use neutrals.
It's a lot of cards. If you have like 2 Rose Roads and a Gates of the Moon on turn 3,
that's my logic. Yes.
But
I was hoping maybe it could work with kind of the cross faction worship theme, but most Greyjoys are loyal, so never mind.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's a Bera Watch or Bera Sun card. And I think it's Bera pretty Kraken. Good in Bera Watch. Bera Kraken, yeah. I mean Iron Mines, right, count for this, and that's definitely something you want. It's a 1 drop, so it's not like horrible. It can go on any unique character. It's not like it's like pretty cost 6 or high or something. So can go on Melisandre. She can become king of the world. And it's did Bera have a king attachment before this?
No. There's an attachment that only goes on Bastard or Kings.
Right. So the fact that now Bera has a king attachment in a world where Yakov's plot is very much a thing. You know, you could definitely put this in a banner package, deck for Bera. So I think that this is firmly like a, I really like Bastard. So I'm going to say B- house, like just Bastard and Night Song is like what Bera players have been screaming for. And I just am so excited to see this card.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just so excited
for Bastard.
Yeah, I think B sounds about right. Bastard and Night Song is genuinely excellent. Right, I'm assuming Roy doesn't want Lannister and Will does.
Sounds good to me, but you know I don't want to just jump all over Roy there if he was.
No, you can please think.
Roy does not want Lannister.
Okay, so we've got Qyburn or Qyburn, depending on what you want to say. He's going to be a loyal 4 cost Lannister character, 3 strength intrigue icon, Maester and small council traits. Reaction after a character is killed, kneel Qyburn to draw 2 cards, then choose and discard 1 card from your hand. And then we've got an event. It's loyal. A plot against the queen. 0 cost and reaction after you lose a power challenge. Return a character with 1 or more power to your hand to choose a participating character with 1 or more power and return it to its owner's hand. You know, I like seeing some more draw for Lannister. Qyburn seems okay. It's still a decent kind of hoop to get through to kill something and then kneel him without ever using him in a challenge, so to speak. And I'm drawing 2, I'm discarding 1, so I'm filtering. I guess I'm still up 1 card out of the deal. It's flexible with where the kill could occur, so... It shouldn't be too hard to trigger, but I don't think I want one of them. Plot Against the Queen, though, man, I mean, what's my best, like, hope here? Like, I've got a Sir Amory Lorch or something with a renown on it that I'm willing to bounce to hand to send there. I don't know, Mace. He's probably not in a challenge to send their Tywin or their Red Viper or something back to hand that has a few power on it. I just, anything much more than that, and I don't know that the tempo hit is worth it unless it's like a game ending play that I'm stopping. So there you go.
I think you want it in a Banner Rose Knight deck. That's where it should be goes. A Banner Rose Knight deck. You've got the occasional little smaller renown guy, and being able to return one of those to return like a Mace is a huge tempo hit. I still think the card is probably utter trash. I also think Qyburn is utter trash. Like, he should not need to kneel.
I mean, the Mace thing, though, if your opponent's actually like worried about some kind of bounce, it has to be a participating character. So how often is Mace going to be in a challenge?
Oh, does it? Jeez.
That's why I stopped my...
Well, they wouldn't be worried about... They're not going to be worried about this card because, like, no That's one's true. Playing it. So, like, they'll throw Mace in a challenge on the assumption that Lancer doesn't have any bounce, right?
Maybe.
I mean, today...
I think... I haven't played a lot of Mace better. Decks. Mace usually doesn't go in challenges unless he really has to, unless you're... Although it doesn't, they don't have to be attacking. So you do sometimes defend with Mace when you're not playing against Targaryen. And so
Sidiful is still probably just better, right? Like, you would just run Things I Do for Love probably. And call it a day. If that's what you're worried about.
Yeah. It's a more flexible card anyway.
I hate Qyburn, by the way. It's so close to being exactly what Lannister wants. Like, this has to have been designed when Lannister was everywhere, because otherwise there's no reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he didn't kneel, I would be all over him. But having to give up any sort of challenging with him, and then, of course, only being able to use him once per turn because of that.
Like, compare him to Mace at a two-cost difference.
Yeah.
Mace is
the one we just got.
The other Mace, the new Mace.
Yeah, the new Mace, like, is when he challenges. Has the gold on top of this, like, has better icon spread.
Isn't
has
discarding the card is just putting it back on top of the deck in case you still need it.
Yeah. That's big.
Of course, he's also in the draw faction, and that's not strictly a Lannister theme this go round.
So they have, like, no draw. I think, do they have the worst draw in the game?
It's pretty bad.
Like, it almost has to be, yes. Right?
I would say Lannister probably is the worst draw in the game at the moment, yeah.
Like, I mean, especially since Stark just got one this pack, right? It's sad.
Yes. Well, they got one this pack, too.
Yeah, but only, like, nominally. Like, not cards you could play. I think Qyburn is a nice proxy to waiting to happen.
I don't think he's that direly bad. I don't think he's particularly great.
He's four cost for one icon. He's trash.
I mean,
and then you can't even.
Except that Lannister might be that desperate for the draw.
I think the fact that he's a reaction hurts him a little bit more than that.
If he was turn off himself, and I could play him on my own reset turn.
Yeah, if he
or my opponents.
Yep. Or your opponents. The fact that he has to survive, and you're probably never running more than one of him,
is
just kind of like...
He's complete garbage.
Yeah. I don't say he's complete garbage.
I'm giving Lannister an F.
So, probably the biggest Lannister player on the cast right now is being very quiet. So, what do you think, Jesse?
I don't think Qyburn's as bad as people think he is. Like, Lannister's in a bad place. I think he's fine. I also love the artwork, so I'll play him.
Artwork in both of these cards is actually pretty good.
I don't think like the way you guys are talking are like these are F cards. Like,
I think they're F cards.
I don't think Qyburn is F card.
No, he's a Maester.
No, not in and of himself. I think the house gets enough.
I I don't know. Like, I'm not just saying this to be who I am, but I actually really like Qyburn and Klansman. So,
I actually specifically don't like him in Klansman.
I do. We like intrigue.
Well,
icons.
Then you're not using him to
support. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I'm just saying about like early on, like intrigue icon is not bad, and then like if I can use them to draw, like late game, but like Klansman needs good setup cards, and a four drop is a good setup card.
Not in Klansman, it's not.
Oh, it's fine.
Four drop is an actively bad setup card in HRD.
No, it's not. You're yes, fine. It yeah. It's fine. They're not gonna march my Qyburn.
Guys, this is yeah, but you would like other. Okay, whatever. This is how we all get talked into playing Klansman in a tournament.
And I think he's good in Klansman that's running building orders. That's all I've got to say.
There we go. All
right.
I give it a D.
F. I follow Jesse's lead. It's a D. It's a defect.
Fail.
That seems fair. I think Qyburn might be a C minus, but I think the event is pretty bad.
Can we please go out of order and let me read these cards?
Oh, no. This is the whole point. You're going to read these cards, Jesse.
All right. Saltcliff Sailor, non-unique, 2-for-1, military power. Greyjoy, ally traded, has bestow of 3. Each character you control with 1 or more gold gains stealth. Action, move 1 gold from Saltcliff Sailor to a non-Greyjoy character you control. 2-cost attachment, non-loyal, Drown God, weapon traded. Driftwood Cudgel, Drown God character only. Attached character gets +1 strength for each character in your dead pile. Interrupt, when attached character is killed, move Driftwood Cudgel to another eligible character. That character gains 1 power. Let me repeat. Interrupt, when attached character is killed, move Driftwood Cudgel to another eligible character. That character gains 1 power.
So you run 3 of these in your Drown God deck, huh?
Absolutely.
Oh, should we explain to the listeners why?
This is...
That interrupt matters a lot.
Okay, so... Correct. So since they put it as an interrupt, if someone Valors... Say someone Valors, or say I Valor myself, interrupts happen before the death actually takes place, before they're killed, so you can move it and gain the power. If you hit 15 before the Valor, but I mean, if you hit 15 before Valor actually takes place, you win.
One queer thing though, because this is a when attached character is killed, they are marked for death to go to a Morbin thing. It's not, you can't trigger Deathwood Cudgel, move it, and then trigger an Iron Mines to save the character. Character. The character has to be dying. So the way you can only to win in one turn with Driftwood Cudgel, you have to be able to get to 15 by moving this thing around to get people to claim power. Otherwise, you pack your cards up and
Quick nutshell of that, you literally can't do it in the order of Cudgel, then mine. Anything that says wood, like a save, like an Iron Mine, happens before any other interrupts.
So basically, Morbend exists.
To quote Jesse,
I will tell you guys. Yeah, that's completely fine. This card is insane. Just make sure you can count to 15, and you can win with this deck. That's all you need to know how to do.
Jesse, like, I only want to put that because there are definitely, I can already see a tournament that, like, everyone's watching, and they're like, why did he Valor here? You know, he can only go to 13, and the person's going to think, oh, I can save this dude with the Iron Mines, and they're going to be like, no, you can't do that.
And yeah,
that person's gonna cry. So I want to save my fellow Drown God players that possible heartbreak. Did you understand that you have to be ready to win when you do the Valor Cudgel play?
I hope this.
So here's the thing.
I really hope this deck sucks.
The deck does not suck here.
I really just don't want it to be T1. We don't need another combo deck.
It is not a combo deck.
It's such a combo deck. We did this last week. Just move on.
It is fine. Like this Drown God is fine. It is not. You're not winning turn one. You are. If you see everything, you are winning turn two.
Oh, okay. If you don't see everything by turn two, you are winning turn three. That's cool.
Maybe. I mean, they can still interact with you.
So it's
they
a combo deck.
Play classification. Let's move
on. Yeah, sure.
They can. They can also
which is the same,
Valor
the
you thing, a turn early.
Answers we literally just went through with combo. We're like, you can just run fortified. So whatever.
All right. I truly do not want to rehash that debate. I really loved that last episode, but it did get Aaron and I going back and forth about that got very tiresome, both as a recording experience and then later as a listening experience.
That, like, I was playing Greyjoy HRD and I was like proxying and Daryl this past weekend, and Daryl was playing Greyjoy Rose, and I definitely paid the iron price to steal a cudgel from him to win the game.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
I just have to say that that happened. He was so pissed.
So, can I make a suggestion to players who hate this deck?
Sure.
Brothers Robes.
The deck is beatable. Like people who think Drowned God is insane, Drowned God has not swept any tournaments or like.
I mean, this card hasn't been released yet. But you know.
Sure.
Like I feel like that. But Drowned God is
tier one. You should know it's out there.
Okay.
I believe it is tier one.
So Brothers Robes, guys. It's there.
Stark beats Drowned God.
Stark beats a lot of things right now. That one Stark.
Correct. Again.
It's a good card.
Any thoughts on the Sailor? No one's mentioned her.
Can we actually talk about the really...
Oh, Sokka's Sailor's bad.
I don't think it's bad. I just think it's bad in this meta.
I think she could be okay in melee.
I don't think it's necessarily bad.
I could see her going in a Greyjoy Tyrell build of some kind. Sure, I'll get my Night of Flowers and so on stealth.
Giving the Bang Brother stealth is amazing.
And refilling it.
Ooh,
I mean, yeah, A, you get to refill it, but B, you just get to, like, all your bestow guys just now have stealth. It doesn't say each character you control with one or more gold that's not a Greyjoy gain stealth. So, like, Wex Pike now has stealth. That kind of thing is real handy. It's just not great in Targ meta.
So do your Stony Shore Raiders.
Yeah, which is, again, like, these are really good things to have stealth, right? Like, all that's real cool. It's just one strength.
Yeah, I just think the one strength is the problem in the Targ meta.
It's bad with Targ everywhere. So, like, it'll be good later. Just remember that when Targ gets knocked down.
And it's good. It's a good melee card. Like, I guess that means that Jesse and I are playing Greyjoy Rose at Gen Con with Saltcliff Sailor. And
it won me Gen Con last year.
So there you go.
It's still my deck of choice.
It's not what I'm taking to first player. I'm taking Martell Kraken, but
for melee?
I do like it. Yeah, I like Martell Kraken in melee a lot.
I was just making sure I didn't have to listen. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Driftwood Cudgel, we also, like, I just kind of, like, read through that part, but, like, the attached character gets plus one strength for each character in your dead pile is actually pretty strong, too. Mm-hmm. Because I run the three Drowned God's Blessing, like, pushing through, like, a 12 strength, like, Dagmar is pretty strong. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, Dagmar?
Never heard of him.
It's also good in a burn. It's also just good as burn protection, right? I mean, and it, it's just a good, good card in Drowned God deck. It helps you get to, you just get, because Drowned God has so much tight synergy on on the trait. Like, you can do things like put this on your Balon when you don't need him anymore, and kill Balon, and draw a bunch of cards, and you just do lots of dumb stuff with. And you get the cudgel back because it's non-terminal. Like, there's just lots of dumb stuff you can do with this card, and expect to see a lot of it out of Greyjoy. So
I will say that I think this card should have been terminal, but I'm glad it's not.
So can we give this an A and move on?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes,
it's an A.
Gross combo bull. Roy, is Martell after Targ? Because I think you get Targ.
I have no idea, but I think you're next. Yeah, you get Targ. So
I'm taking Martell.
I love you, Glazer. All right, Raiding Khalasar is a character, 6 cost, military power, 6 strength, non-loyal, army Dothraki, no attachments, pillage. While Raiding Khalasar is attacking, if you control an attacking Blood Rider character, raise the claim value on your revealed play card by 1. It's a fine card. But we get a really amazing card in a loyal 2-cost event with a cool name. To go forward, you must go back. It is a prophecy. Dominance. Each player may shuffle his or her hand of at least 1 card into his or her deck and draw 5 cards. So Raiden Kalasar, just again, it's very similar to the Host of the Boneway. I think it's actually, or not Host of the Boneway, excuse me, Host of the Riverlands. I think it's also Host of the Boneway. It's kind of a little bit of a dull body. I like the claim in a Blood Rider deck, but it's something like spectacular. It doesn't make Blood Rider like tier S or something. Blood Rider deck tier S. To go forward, you must go back, though, is fantastic. It is exactly what Danny decks want to be more consistent. It's really strong. Like, it's refill your hand as long as there's two cards in it. To go forward, you must go back and one other card. And minus one if you have Danny in play. So, yeah.
I'm not sure how this card got printed.
It's super strong.
It was a plot in first edition that got restricted like immediately.
Well,
negotiations with the great
two claim city plot, so it did a lot more.
I don't
than
care.
Justice.
No, it did not. It was a city plot that only worked if you didn't have any other city plots.
Yeah, but it started off.
Yeah, I don't know why it had that.
That's why it.
To keep it away from city plots.
It did not start off the city cycle. It was not in city decks.
I definitely
like because you never wanted to play it turn one. Yeah, that's not true. Like, you never wanted to play a turn one, and you wanted your cities to get somewhere quickly for really obvious reasons. Like, it was not a city card plot. It was printed specifically as a city plot, we're almost certain, in order to get people away from playing cities, because cities were everywhere. Because HRD and cities were one of the answers.
Sure. But what about in second edition?
In second edition, this is the exact card Targ needs.
Strong.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just me, or does it potentially have a little bit of a corner case play against combo? I mean, you still get to probably hit a turn one dominance, but if they've thrown up to dig and sculpt their hand,
it says May.
Oh no! I wanted that to be forced. Never mind. Well, this is also worse than the old.
If it was forced, wasn't it?
No. Still
May. Was May for both.
I think it was forced for you, but may yeah, exactly. For the opponent.
Okay.
And, like, you would never play this event if you were not planning on using the May part, right?
It's an interesting interactive draw card at the very least. Like, it does give your opponent that option. Like, if their hand is awkward or they're down to one card or something that they can shuffle in as well. Like, so, I mean, if Targ's going to get a broken draw card, this is the best broken draw card.
It's only plus three cards. It's only counting coppers, which I think is what people keep missing.
Sure, but they can already run two of those.
Right, so they run two counting coppers and three of these. And because they're probably playing Wars to Come, they have Littlefinger's Meddling, so this is free. And that one card they had, in hand was that one two cost burn event.
Aaron, but you're missing the whole point of what this card makes this card so strong. The whole point of Targaryen, more than any other faction, is to empty your hand. Like, and you get so much synergy for doing it. And so the fact that this gives you further access to refilling that hand, even if it's only at the end of the day, plus three cards, like a Counting Coppers.
Wait, that's not only. That was sarcasm, Roy.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing. Counting Coppers is one of the best cards in the game.
Yeah.
Like, but it's just plus three cards isn't like an only.
I think this would be strong in literally any faction, but the fact that Targaryen's theme is to just empty its hand is what makes it busted. Like, just beyond busted.
I think this is functionally busted absolutely everywhere.
So you would say...
Maybe not Martell and Tyrell, because they have every other draw card in the game.
No.
But, like, I'd play this in Night's Watch. I'd play, like, almost anywhere.
What about... I mean, you play it anywhere, I think. But I think it's, again... particularly strong because it's in Targaryen.
Maybe. I mean, like, Targ likes cards. Any draw card good? Like, sure.
No, not any good card. Not any draw card is good, or people will be running Funeral Pyre.
People are running Funeral Pyre, man.
They are, but...
Like, Funeral Pyre is good.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, maybe I'm bad at this game, but... I still don't entirely think it's that great with so much competition for faction card Neil, with Shadow Black being so necessary in Targ Wars to Come.
I mean, if you're playing Wars to Come, it's less so. Sure.
I'm not playing Funeral Pyre, but it is out there. People are playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm also like playing like two or three Shadow Black lanes in my Targ decks, so.
I'm playing two. I want three, but I'm playing two.
Yeah.
Tar got real crowded real fast. But even so, two Shadow Blacks and, like, a Funeral Pyre or two are not a bad call. But I don't need Funeral Pyre anymore because I have to go forward.
I think, like, the slot that people run Funeral Pyre in, I run Waking the Dragon.
I don't run Waking. I just have all burn events.
Yeah, that's completely fine. That's
important. And Nightmares, because Nightmares seems important.
I actually play Waking the Dragon to as another way to get milks off my Danny.
Yeah.
That's why I do that.
I know the drill. That's why I play Breaking Ties. Like, that's 80% of the reason Breaking Ties. That and to get Froso off my Flea Bottoms.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk at least a little bit about raiding Kalasar.
I have to.
The pillage is worth, but, you know, conceivably you could have a Blood Rider and Muster the Realm as your plot to hit three claim. So that's fun.
There we go.
Conceivably, you could just play a two claim plot and have a Blood Rider. Like, I don't see why you need Muster the Realm for that.
Well, okay.
It's very strong with Brats loves.
I can just go super
clean. Blood of My Blood, is that the search?
Yes. Is it loyal? I just accidentally...
Kalasar is loyal. Not loyal.
So if it's not loyal, then it's a... Then, you know, it's Stark. Stark Blood Rider.
Or the... Any of the Blood Riders loyal, or are they all?
I mean,
unloyal.
Jogo is loyal, I believe, and the others are not.
I can feel like Dark Naj being on Team Stark at Thronestoberfest and building some Stark Blood Rider deck that plays this card and
if
stands
at
a bunch.
If he's on Team Stark at Thronestoberfest, something went very, very wrong. Like, real bad. Something wrong happened.
Oh, dude, I would take House Stark. It's not that big a deal.
Particularly these days.
Yeah. I just don't want Stark. I'm a little traumatized.
But, like, solidifying that you're going to walk away with Dark Knives is a bold statement.
Because you know what he's going to do. He's going to bet all his money on Dark Knives.
And then I'm going to spend $1 on Sandy. Because Sandy's terrible. That's great. It's my plan. Dark Knives and Sandy.
It'll be tough for you if not very many Wausau guys are coming. The more Wausau guys that are coming, the better you are off to get Naj.
Yeah.
So you got to work on Platt. And, you know, when we're all at Gen Con, you can work on the Wausau boys to come. So
yes.
Yeah. I'm going to be too drunk at Gen Con to work on anything.
Well, that's how you'll charm people. People love you when you're drunk. Mm-hmm. All right. So you ready to do your favorite faction? Oh, wait, we should rate. This is just... It should be S, but I give it A, simply because rating Kalasar is like a B card, B minus card, so it is definitely an A.
I'm going to give it, an A, I think.
Yeah, the ratings are just too clear-cut these days. I think A sounds pretty reasonable.
I mean, seems like every faction got one totally busted card
and one
kind of just their card, except Lannister, which just got trash.
And Tyrell, because Tyrell just is so power creep out of interest.
All right, Host of the Boneway, 6/4 military intrigue, intimidate, no attachments. Host of the Boneway gets +1 strength for each plot card in the use pile. Oof. I don't think I really thought of how good that was. All right, because someone always tells, I still don't know who that is. It is a loyal event. It's an interrupt when the effects of an opponent's event or triggered plot ability to initiate. Cancel those effects. Let's talk about Host of the Boneway first, like we did with the other ones, because if not, we're never going to talk about it.
Sure.
That's kind of good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a lot better than... It's probably the best of this little cycle of six drops that we've seen.
Like,
or I guess technically Host of the Riverlands is not a six drop, but these sort of armies that we saw in this pack, the little mini cycle that Danny's got going on here.
Yeah.
Do you think this goes in the big... The big Doran's game decks, the Wars to Come ones?
Yeah,
I do.
Like, they get...
I think it's a one of.
Yeah.
Like, I like that it pushes Martell to go first, which is nice.
I mean,
Like, I just think that giant body is real handy.
I guess it maybe gives you still some reasonable play, even if you're going first. I mean, that non-unique intimidate is pretty rad.
This is going to be a 6, like, 7 or 8 pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can do it. It can be a 6 on turn 1 in Martell, right? Or a 5 in turn 1 in Martell,
it'll,
right?
Well, it will be a 5 in turn 1 if you're running it, right?
Yeah.
You're not running this and not running 000 turn 1.
Agreed.
And then Ricasso's in that deck, and now he's at 7 turn 1. Seems good. Alright, someone always tells is broken. Like, if I could unprint one non-combo card, I think this is it. It's this or base, right? Like, I hate affecting plots like this. Plot cancel shouldn't exist. Plot cancel this easy really shouldn't exist.
Well,
because Martell gets extra ways to use it.
It is one, though, that you have to have anticipated your opponent dropping a worthwhile triggered plot effect that turn. You know, it's an interrupt in the plot phase, so you're going to need that. Well, almost always in the plot phase, it is possible, I suppose, to have triggered plot effects at other times, but that's very
really rare. Good against Reigns.
It destroys Reigns.
Okay, I love that's it. Fair.
Like, wrecks Reigns.
That's fair. I was busy thinking about just the effects literally on the plots.
Well, like, it just... Like, against Reigns, you're just like, oh my god, please. Like, if this wasn't super rookery to begin with, like, you rookery 3 of this, and, like, all the extra stuff that lets you play in plots in case you run into Reigns. Anyone?
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it is really, really strong. A lot of Valor is going to get canceled with this. It's similar to Sam's card in the sense that it's a very high skill card. The plot cancel, like, not the canceling Reigns plots, but whatever, but like or the events. Plot cancel itself or events, right? Which is, it's a very high skill. Like, knowing that you want to cancel that when revealed is going to be a very skill intensive card. I mean, Danny, this card screams. Danny printed this, like, you must play this card, right? Because I think it gets a little bit worse if it was just one of these two things, but the fact that it does both is just amazing. And it is like a pushed card. And it just makes, this is the card I think I've always just been thinking of Martell in my head since this card was spoiled by the French, or was it the Italians?
I can't recall.
That this card existed. Like, I just thought this was in the box. Like, I've just been playing against Martell since then, thinking that they have this card. It's just really good. It's probably... No, the draw event is probably better, but it's probably the second best card in the plot, or in the pack, so...
I don't, like... In a vacuum, the draw event is better. In reality, like, the fact that this also powers combo again, this is probably better. Like, with the restricted list in effect, I think this is probably better.
Yeah, the Hand's Judgment getting thrown on the restricted list definitely pushes this even a little further. I mean, doubly so, because now you want to play it, and now it's maybe a couple decks that would have thought about Hand's Judgment that aren't playing. To stop you, that is.
In Martell, do you still play Hand's Judgment after this?
In Martell, I never play Hand's Judgment.
Even in a Targ meta?
No, I don't give a shit. No. I would just play his Vibrise if I were at that point. They're mm-hmm. they're going first, so they're probably military and repowering me, right? So
Reasonable.
But I also usually don't play his Vibrise. Sometimes, but not usually.
Jesse?
What was the question? Is this card good?
Yeah, I don't know.
About the card.
Been quiet.
Yeah, this card is really, really good. I like it. I don't know. Like, I like everything I wanted to say about it, Aaron already said, so.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. It's just a good card. Like, Host of Boneway, I'm actually interested to try out, but someone always tells, I just know it's going to be 3-0s in decks. It's just really good. I think it just brings Viper back, for sure.
And you get one extra way to use this that you don't for the other one, although you lose Kedri as a way.
That's fair.
You get what's that stupid plot?
Which ones?
The 4-3-1 Martell only.
Oh, the long game. Or yeah.
Oh, long plan?
Yeah, long game.
Long plan.
Yeah, long plan is an extra way to play this, and long plan turns, which are already super stressful, are not extra stressful, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not only can they Valor, they can cancel whatever the hell you were trying to do.
Stupid.
It's extra stupid. Mm-hmm. Long plan was shifting out of the meta a little bit, and welcome back. Especially in Worst to Come decks, where you have space for all this.
Yeah. Martell Wars is very strong. So, S?
I
think it's just an A, right?
I mean, Boneway is a B-ish card, B-. So, yeah, it's an A+.
I think Host of Boneway is good enough that it doesn't weigh down just the S quality of Someone Always Tells to me.
I mean, I don't think Host of the Boneway is better than the other card, the Night's Watch card, the drunk guy. Celador?
Yeah.
I don't think Host of the Boneway is better than Celador, and I gave that an A or A+, so I'm going to give this an A+, too. Because I don't know if this is better.
I think Crow of a Trixie Bird is more skill testing than Someone Always Tells.
I disagree, because for Someone Always Tells, once you've played Crow, it sort of just does its thing on its own. Someone Always Tells, you have to accurately predict when to use that plot, your own plot. I think that's harder to do.
I think Someone Always Tells, even if you never cancel your opponent's, it gets Reigns matchups, just the fact that it shores up that weakness of Martell and is an event cancel is a fantastic ability. And if there will be times when you can, even if you're not even planning it, cancel someone's when revealed effect. And that doesn't require a huge amount of skill.
The one non-reset I most want to cancel is
Counting Coppers.
Trade Roots.
Counting Coppers. Yeah. Holy shit, would that swing a game? Especially those houses that don't have any other draw. Ugh.
Yeah.
Gross.
It's very gross.
Can you cancel?
No, it's triggered ability.
You can only cancel when revealed, right? Because I already scrolled away.
Yes, you can only cancel when.
Oh no, it's triggered ability. So you can
cancel breaking ties. Or first snow.
God, that's amazing. That's ridiculous. This card shouldn't have been printed. That's too good. it could have at least been when revealed, right?
You'd think.
This just doesn't hit passive effects. Everything else, it's just screw you. I don't care about you. This will cancel March.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Literally cancels every triggered when revealed except for the gold you give people on trading and the 0-0-0.
That's...
Those are the only two that say cannot be canceled, right?
To start building some different Martell decks, because...
it's pretty good.
My God. This shouldn't exist. This shouldn't exist for a very different reason than combo stuff shouldn't exist, right? This shouldn't exist because, players who are good enough just, man. I can imagine playing Struhal, who has this in his deck, and I'm just all right, I'm going to lose, so okay, let's go do something else.
Right.
All right, I don't like this. Let's move on.
Who wants to do Maya?
I like Maya, but I just did Martell's with someone else.
Is it my turn or is it Will's turn?
I wasn't really keeping close track. I can jump on it, or you can, either or.
Sure. You can do it.
Okay.
I'll take the great sept.
Sure thing. So we've got Mia Stone. She's, of course, neutral. 4-2 strength, power icon. She's a bastard. And interrupt when flame is applied.
Why would you insult her that way? She's a bastard.
When claim is applied for a military retreat challenge in which you're a defending player, kneel me a stone to apply power claim instead. I mean, it's kind of a fun little effect, but I think she just gets edged out by more potent in-house cards most of the time. And, you know, a lot of folks really try to push and convince me these days that power challenge is the most important challenge in second edition. And if that is true, you know, you're effectively giving your opponent extra power challenges, which means that military intrigue better be damn important. So, yeah, I'm not really feeling it.
I think it's bad.
I think there's
too expensive.
Yeah.
There's three.
If it was a 2-for-2, it'd be good.
It's 2-for-2.
It'd be fine. I like Baradex.
I think it's functionally broken in the 7 decks, where you just need them to have power so you can steal it because they can't win power challenges.
So you just let them take your power so that you can then take it back?
Yeah, because you don't really have claim soak because you don't have great economy because you're Stark.
Maybe.
Like, I think it's seriously good there. I think there's a Martell home for it. Because, like, I sit there with no power until plot 9 anyway, so, okay, have my no power claim. And I think, where was the third place? I just lost my train of thought, I'm sorry. Oh, I think some Drowned God decks might want this.
Nah, it's too expensive.
Think so? I think it's to get rid of the intrigue, to be able to, like... Like, I don't think you care about military in that deck, but, like, me not having to worry about, like, getting that wrong pull is real good.
But you're still paying 4 gold for it when you need to be digging for your combo pieces and playing Drowned God characters.
I don't know if you do need to be digging for your combo pieces. Right? Like, that's what I'm saying.
I think
you
just run Sailing the Summer Sea.
Which is that one?
Like, I think, like, you just, like, you don't care what they do to you. I really don't think this...
I hate losing combo pieces from my hand.
I don't know. It's usually fine. Like, if they, like... The odds of them pulling a character are pretty high, and then it just goes to your dead pile, and you can just remarshal it.
Yeah, that's true. Fair.
And it gives you +1 strength.
The only card you really care... The only card that you really care that they take is your, like... attachments and your events. Like, other than that, it's usually fine.
Sure, but, like, those are things that they can take on intrigue, right? Like, if they don't have intrigue claim, you know what they can't do?
Right, but Aaron, like, I understand, but, like, the question is, like, is the opportunity cost of running Maya Stone worth the upside? And I think the argument Jesse's trying to make there is that it's not.
I'm not 100% sure, but we'll see.
But, like, I think, you know, Jesse's built more successful high synergy / combo decks than you have.
I don't.
And I think that
I do see where you're coming from. I promise you.
I'm not saying that Aaron's idea is bad. Like, I don't. Like, again, I think we're having a polite, actually productive disagreement here. I think, but, like, Aaron's point is a good one. But I think the question is the opportunity cost of this 4-cost 2-strength monocon worth it when you could instead run redundancy in your synergies in that deck? And my gut says, having played a lot of Bitterbridge and played against a lot of combo, is that you would rather have the synergies than you would have this card.
Yeah, I usually agree. I'm not sure I do in Drowned God. Like, I played the deck when Jesse gave it to me, and, like, a lot of the times when I was losing, it was just like, I don't have intrigue icons, and they're just eating at my hand, and, like, the consistency of that was frustrating.
Right.
Like, anything that's good at hand destruction or has 1 or 2 claim for it was a serious problem. And Lannister was more in the meta, and so was Reigns with that, with the stupid spider's web at that point. So, like, I was losing a lot of cards, and, like, being able to just say, nah, screw you, take 2 power and I have none, early would have won me those games that are otherwise losses. And, like, I would trade speed for, like, almost every time. Like, if I know that, like, I have the stall and Drowned God has the stall, that's why, like, you're like, it doesn't have to win that early. And I'm like, it doesn't matter because you can't beat it fast. So, like, it's got, like, that extra turn of stall doesn't bother me in any way, shape, or form if I can instead make sure that my combo goes off. And I feel like that's what this card says. It says, like, I don't have to, like, risk any luck. It takes away variance. It doesn't increase it.
That's fair. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't try it. I just don't know. I don't think I see the value like you do. But you might be right.
It just might be a meta call, too. Like, it might be that when I played it, I played it against Rains and Spider's Web was everywhere. And, like, against Spider's Web, this card is amazing.
Yeah.
So, C+. Plus.
I'm on, like, a D.
Yeah, I'm at a B.
I think she's just a C.
Okay. Let's see. Moving on. Two cost location. Unique. The Great Sept of Baelor. King's Landing and the Seven Traded. Bestow of 3. Reaction. After a character enters play, kneel the Great Sept of Baelor and discard 1 gold from it to treat that character's printed text box as if it were blank. Accept the trait, except for traits until the end of the round. And quick note, guys, that will probably be the last bestow card we ever grade or white book.
That's a good point.
I know.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little sad.
Wow. Yeah.
We'll have to do a bestow retrospective.
Yeah, that would actually kind of be cool. I would actually be down for that.
I like that.
Yeah.
So can we give it a D and move on? This is bad. Is it not bad?
I don't. Until the end of the round gives it some more value. Like, if you could just shut off Mace for an entire round.
Yeah. I mean, sure, but.
Like it's not till the end of the phase, right? Like, that's the issue with, like, Nightmaresing Mace or Arianne or, like, Danny. It's like, none of that stuff, like, all that stuff, like, till the end of the round is pretty strong.
The difference in cost, I think, is what really, like, makes it, because you still have to pay 2 for the location, and you have to see it before they see that card, right?
Sure.
Like, because the second
it's a rookery card.
The second you've played this, I'm gonna like let you blank other shit until I can get my mace out, and if you just keep one, I'll wait till I can. Like,
I mean, I think that's why it's a rookery card. I think against a hardcore mace deck, if you put this down, like,
yeah.
What do you do?
Like, Bitterbridge doesn't care about this, right?
Yes, it does. Like, because, I mean, Bitterbridge, I mean, it definitely cares because it's when enters play. So,
right.
If you Bitterbridge Mace in, they do it. So that's a whole round Mace is off. And oftentimes you're putting Mace in play to win or to set yourself up to win on the next turn.
Right. But, like, can they afford to not use it, like, on the 18 other characters that have Renown and 5 Strength that you've played first?
There are enough decks that can answer everything that Bitterbridge does but Mace. The thing is, a lot of decks can't answer what Bitterbridge does plus Mace. So, like, in the process of answering the other things, Renly, Randall, Marjorie, some mixture of all that nonsense, that's something a lot of decks can do. And then you're like, well, you're doing all of that and you spent all your resources and card advantage dealing with that. Well, now I'm going to slap Mace down. And I'm just going to do Mace stuff. And you're going to lose because you used all your answers. You used all your tempo. You used all of your card advantage to get to control my other dudes. And Mace just can quickly gain power. The same that the turn that you play him, he's turned off. That's a lot of power that the Tyrell player is losing out on.
I mean,
I'm not saying that this is like an amazing card that should be in 3X in every deck, but I think, particularly in the rookery format, it could be very strong.
You have a, like, you let's just say this, like, if you have a Martell deck, like, I'm playing a certain Martell deck that is very good, but I can't afford Big Garion. And so my only answer, like, and like the only deck I can't get past is Mace. Like, I could just slot in 2 of these and then I just beat Mace decks, right?
If you
shut Mace down for like 2 rounds, like what?
You can't shut Mace down for 2 rounds. What? That's not what this says.
It treats as
printed. Only shut Mace down for 1. After it enters play, you discard 1 gold.
Okay.
You cannot discard a 2 gold.
Hmm.
So yeah, if you can shut Mace down for 2 rounds, we have a very different conversation. Like, but Martell doesn't close fast enough, right?
Well, the deck I'm playing does.
And like. Okay.
But what if you're a Martell? I mean, a lot of Martell decks, their problem is, you know, they can't overcome the 3 to 6 power that he gets in that one turn.
Isn't milk just easier?
Maybe.
Like, no.
Maybe you need.
Maybe. To go, I mean, maybe.
No. Six. Like, 4 or 3 steps there.
What?
I was trying to say, maybe you need milks 4 through 6.
More milks. He's saying this is more milks in your deck.
Yeah, maybe.
It gives you, if you run 2 of these, it gives you 5 opportunities to draw milk, and it gives you the fact that you can run then 6 milks in your deck.
I guess.
I don't know how often.
I mean,
you practically,
I don't really want to fit milk into my Martell usually, so I really don't want 5. I don't know. Like, I feel like I just kind of eat that matchup. And, like, run enough other things, like that tears and stuff to try and get Mace off the board instead. Like, if I'm I'd rather just run milk and then run, like, extra kill. Could just be me, but, like, this doesn't, like, the 3 gold hit of this seems like a lot. Because you're probably usually going to spend 2 gold for it and then 1 for bestow, right? Because you're using it for one specific thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a 3 gold card, let's say, most of the time. And, like, that's a... like, that's the spot that Starfall is in my deck. And I think I'd rather have Starfall. Like, 90% of the time.
All right. I mean, I don't think this card is as bad as you think it is, but I think it's fine. I think it's interesting.
You talked me up to a C.
I think it's interesting.
You talked me up to a C.
I mean, I'm at a C, so that's just,
I'm also at
so
a
that's
C.
That's fair.
I think it's a Rookery card. Yeah. I think if it takes off, you'll see the card. If it doesn't take off, you won't see it.
I'm ready for Rookery to go away forever.
Me too.
Right. We haven't even.
That's another topic for another episode. We're just spiraling these great.
Somebody
topics.
Be writing that down.
So does that mean the 7-pointed star is mine,
no.
Or do you want to do it, Glazer, or do you want to do the plot or the attachment? What do you want to do, Glazer?
I'll do the 7-pointed star.
Okay.
It's a 1-cost attachment. It's an item in the 7. Attached character gains the 7 trait. The attached character to reduce the cost of the next 7 card. You marshal this phase by 2. I think it's really, really, really good. Like, just sticking this on a stupid little reducer chud is awesome. Like, that it's reduce it by 2 is amazing. And one of my favorite cards in the game is... Wow, Begging Brother? Sorry, it's starting to get late. Is Begging Brother, and, like, getting real cheap Begging Brother means that I can put more gold on Begging Brother, and that makes me very happy.
You're also forgetting that it doesn't even really need with 7 decks for that marshaling action. You put this on character like Randall or Rob or Robert or a variety of other awesome non-7 characters in your 7 deck.
You get Renown?
Good.
Yeah.
Which is good. If they have Native Renown, right, you are then getting 2 power for winning that challenge. So this on a Rob. Like, let's just say the best one is Stark, right? So putting this on Rob,
strong. Putting this on Fast Eddie.
Or Fast Eddie, yes.
Putting this on Fast Eddie means if you can get 2 people in the challenge, it's 3 power, right?
Yep.
It's there gross. You
go. I think this card is nuts. Oh, my
I think
gosh.
That deck is C1.
Yeah.
Oh, Stark Wars. Jerry proved it. And it's just gotten better as more people have refined the deck. So it is great.
Mm-hmm. I need a refined version. I haven't really bothered. Like, I play mostly Martell. I like it. It's an A.
Oh, I don't know if I can call it an A.
I am for sure.
I mean, it's still pretty specific decks that it has to go into.
Yeah, but it goes in all of them. Like, I can't imagine playing a 7 deck without at least 2.
Sure. It just isn't going in anything other than a 7 deck.
I'm okay with that. Like, yes, I'm okay with that. Like, I don't know what to say beyond that sounds good to me. It enables some of the best cards in the game. Like, it enables Brothers Robes. It enables Begging Brother. It enables, like, finally, like, this, like, makes Big Cat affordable. Because, like, a large part of that problem is just Stark's economy. Like, it enables just a lot of really powerful stuff. And I like powerful stuff.
Right, and you can put it on a crappy character early in the game, like on setup, and then use it to play your cat or some other, or High Sparrow or whatever, because it gets around things like High Sparrow, right? Yeah. It's 2 gold on a High Sparrow turn if you played on a previous turn. And then kill that crappy character and get this back, and then put it on your good character to turn their renown on and close.
Yep.
Is very powerful.
You could also use it as a choke card. You can stick it on one of your reducer chuds. Then reduce a Stark thing and a 7 thing by 3 and turn off one of their...
No, you have to kneel the character separately. You can't.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's not when knelt. It's not like Brothers Robes.
Well, no, but yes. Okay. So fine.
Oh, you just get Brothers the Robing.
And then you can Brothers Robe their economy.
Right, yes.
So, like, you can choke them out while you're getting yourself to economy. That seems real nice.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful synergies within... that right. Deck.
Jesse, when we get off, you got to send me this deck.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So, You Win or You Die, the final card of the cycle, is a 5/8/2 scheme, 0 reserve. When revealed, draw 2 cards. This is a pretty interesting plot, actually, I think. Yeah, I like it. I'll be honest with you. I like it. I think it's a cool aggro plot. I think...
That's not what it is.
Well, then what is it, Aaron?
It's a Reigns card. It's a Reigns card.
It is a Reigns card.
Like, I don't think you really play it usually outside of Reigns. Maybe Stark or Rush.
I mean...
Stark or Rush.
Do you play it in Reigns that often? I mean, you are sticking yourself with that 0 then, right? The 0 reserve, I mean.
I mean... Yeah, but you never have to flip it, so you're using it for the 2 cards and the close.
It is a straight-up better version of Sneak Attack.
Yeah.
In that case.
That's true.
Right, Sneak Attack you usually only ever flipped if you, like, desperately needed that 2 claim. And, you know, like, 0 reserve at the, like, towards the end of the game, right? Either the turn you win or the turn before you win is not as hurtful as... early in the game. So
I could even maybe see myself trying this out in some Targ decks. I've got, you know, planning on dropping a Kotho or something. I've got a Consuming Flames. Like, I could just empty my hand just doing normal stuff pretty quickly anyway. I don't know.
I don't think it's worth the opportunity cost in Targ of just playing better stuff.
Yeah, I think there's better. I think Stark is the natural home for it, like a Stark pressure deck that
where you have no cards in hand anyway.
Yeah, you have no cards in hand anyway. You get 2 cards, you get the 2 claim, you get to decide who goes first. You get 5 golds, you basically play anything you draw. Like a 1 less card counting coppers for the 2 claim is pretty good for Stark when they're just going to play out everything and at most will have 1 card in their hand by the end of the round. So pretty good then. Yeah. It's an interesting plot. I think it's a cool design space for Danny to be exploring. 0 reserve is really interesting. So it's got to be powerful enough because they put plot deck limit 1 on it. So
going to be great. I mean, you could also probably build a Martell Stag that you want this.
Yeah, where you're just playing out of the discard pile so much anyway.
Well, no, you're running Iron Throne in that. You're running Dorne. And you're running blah. Or you can be running the 1 gold and 1 reserve card.
Oh, to boost your stats up. I gotcha.
Yeah. And then you've just got a reserve of 3, and that's probably fine.
But 2 claim and drawing 2 cards.
Yeah, exactly.
5 gold and 8 initiative.
And like Martell Stag, and then you're going second, you've got all the economy in the world, and, like, sounds good.
Finally, a reason to play maybe the even, God's Eye.
Honestly, and then there's whatchamacallit. You can totally do the same basic thing in Watch, right?
Yeah, they've got, 3
Watch has all the reserve
boosts now? Yeah, definitely. definitely with, I mean, like Eastwatch is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be going off this turn, but.
Well, isn't there that card that no one plays? I can't think of what it's called.
Cantrip? The two gold?
Yeah. The cantrip that just boosts your reserve.
I don't think you. I mean, this plot's not that good. If you could run
and
two
of
them,
Steward.
But
no, but that's not a. Yeah.
Yeah, you got Sam.
Oh, yeah. Sam also. I was meaning. What's his name? Is it Othel? Doesn't he boost your reserve?
No, it's not it's
Owen
Marsh.
Yeah. Owen Marsh. Othel gives icons. Yeah, it's a cool card. Is this card good in Melee, Jesse?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. I agree.
I believe so.
No hesitation.
It is in my Martell Kraken first player deck, so we'll see at first player.
I
think it's good.
It's going to be very popular. High initiative and two claim.
I think
you're probably not going past that turn.
I think this with two of the spears is very good.
Ooh. Oh, there you go.
So,
I hate the spears.
Yeah, I love it in Melee. I think it's really good. So
it's really good in Joust, spears.
Too. Oh, it's particularly good in combo in Joust, but
it's also just really good in Joust. You don't need combo.
Yeah.
Gross decks are gross.
Yes.
They are.
Well, there you go.
That's it. We did it, guys.
Yep.
We made
Wait,
it
we
through.
Did, we totally did not rate that card.
Oh. B+.
Yeah, I'll go with a B+.
That was straight B, yeah. So sure.
I think it's a B+ for me.
Will?
Yeah. Props and slops.
Woo. Thanks.
Yeah, this week, what to prop? I feel like I should maybe pre-prop Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Minor spoilers. I've been reading some articles online that think they are going to do the thing. And if
I don't know what the thing is.
Yeah. It'll be a snapping good
sure
time.
Enough, so.
Snapper car?
I'm pretty. Oh my goodness! Don't you dare bring up snapper car right now. We're gonna go down a rabbit hole of our man and booster gold if you let me.
I mean.
Oh.
Oh snap! Look out, Will! Oh snap!
Yeah, now I know what the thing is. Okay, even though I haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. since episode like 3 when the terrible acting killed it for me.
It got so much better. It got so much better. And I'm pumped.
I'm sure.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is really
careful
good.
What you say here, Aaron, or people will be snapping.
Oh my god.
All right. So
my eyes just tried to roll out of my head. Congratulations, we're even.
Now you know.
I like it.
Thanks, Jesse.
I love
it. Wait, was that you like S.H.I.E.L.D. or you like Roy's joke?
Both, but I do like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a lot, actually. Even through the bad times.
The dark times.
I mean, I've watched every episode of Supergirl, so I'm there, buddy.
Just catch up a little bit. It's been fun.
Oh, man, I had to jump off. Mon-El was too much. I couldn't do it. I've jumped off everything but Flash, and I'm kind of like slowly watching Flash.
Oh, dude,
like,
you don't watch Gotham?
Oh, I can't watch Gotham. I dropped Gotham like 2 episodes in. It was the one with the balloons that were killing people.
After Fish goes away, it gets so good. It gets so good.
I don't know. It's not the kind of Batman story I'm super interested in. I don't particularly love Batman's villains. I know, but I don't particularly love Batman's villains, so why would I watch them?
So depressing. That's fair.
I know. I don't have the best taste in the world, but I'm still watching Flash. That's the only one that's left.
Like to watch Flash. I know I would like Flash. I don't watch any of
it. It is good.
I watch, like, I'll watch Luke Cage season 2, which is coming out any day now, right? Like, in a couple of weeks? Is it a while?
That a while, I thought. Like,
I actually maybe want to say, isn't the Cloak and Dagger before
Let me look that up.
The Gifted. Did anyone watch The Gifted? The Gifted was really good. Wait, is it The Gifted? The one with the Strucker twins?
Yeah, that's The Gifted.
June 22nd.
Yeah, The Gifted was really good.
June 22nd.
Okay.
So like 2 months, Aaron.
Well, but did you watch The Gifted, Roy?
No, I did not watch The Gifted. The only superhero show I've watched is like 2/3 of the current season of The Flash. That's it. I haven't watched anything else. But I'll be flying this summer, so I will have an opportunity to watch shows. I got to fly to California, and I've got to fly to Gen Con. So lots of opportunities to watch stuff.
I want to prop I Kill Giants. I Kill Giants is fantastic, and apparently no one on Earth watched it but me. So someone else should watch it.
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I sure have.
It's a Joe Kelly comic. They made it to a movie.
That's probably why.
Seriously great, and no one's seen it, so it makes me sad.
Not realize they made that into a movie.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
So I want to prop my cohort host Jesse Carpenter for making my Gen Con experience this year possible, because I didn't have my Gen Con stuff sorted out in time for the ticket purchases. And he was also apparently the Santa Claus of a variety of other Thrones players based on comments in the group. Yeah. So props to Jesse for being just a linchpin of the community.
Thank you. I knew that people would either like not be able to figure out whether or not they could go, or like people like Nick Hansen would just forget. so I bought a few different tickets so people could, just in case. It was also just a hope and a prayer that Thrones would sell out for the first time, but it has not.
It wouldn't be the first time. Didn't it sell out? Yeah, when Second Ed launched.
Didn't it sell out the first
time? It did.
I have no idea. The only information I know is that Sandy said he's been going to Gen Con for 8 years now, and he's never once like not bought a ticket like day of.
I still need my ticket.
Well, that's different, but because like FFG always makes room for people, though. Like, it was definitely sold out in the first second edition one, yeah. And FFG just made space for people who showed up day of.
That's true.
It's one of the reasons why it took forever to get started. It went on forever. Aaron remembers, because Aaron was in the graduating cut.
I was very drunk and
like
hungover.
He was going to die.
Which is just how I play Thrones, in fairness. So.
Play your Thrones at your best.
I did not play bad in the graduated cut. If I didn't run into Tom Capura twice, yeah. I would have been fine.
See, props to Will and Kristen. They had their anniversary, yeah. So hopefully that was
and
good.
And Kristen's birthday. Happy birthday, Kristen.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy birthday to the Lentz family.
It's not
and
Will's birthday, just because it's Kristen.
Yeah, that's fair. Mine's much further down the
not
road.
How that works. They don't get married and share birthdays, trust me. You'll figure that out in a few months, Roy.
Well, the actual wedding is a little ways off for Roy, right? Have you guys set a date? It's
is
winter. Winter. We're spiraling around. We think we have a location. We just kind of
should be careful. You're a Stark fan getting married in the winter.
Oh, I know.
It's
dangerous. It's like a danger zone.
That one definitely closed this chapter of my book.
I'm amazing.
That one.
I'm amazing. We'll be right back.
Lens. Kenan.
Yep. No, I think
did
I
had
myself
Will?
Muted accidentally.